Mandy Wiener in a studio with us. Mandy, a very good morning. How woke are we?
You're so woke that I don't even know if my microphone is on.
It's on, it's okay. On. Don't worry, we'll take care of that.
You guys woke.
Yeah, we lit. We are totally, totally lit. I don't even understand this SMS. Mervin says, Zanati, Mount Everest is the tallest on earth, not in the world. And there's a couple of exclamation marks that follow that. So he's obviously serious about it. What does that even mean?
Isn't the earth the world?
I don't know. Mandy, you're smarter than both of us.
It's a very
what does
esoteric,
that mean?
Is that like esoteric conversation?
Mount Everest is the tallest on earth, not in the world. I swear to you.
I thought the world.
I think it's the distance from underneath the.
No, I know what he's saying. I think there are taller mountains underneath the ocean, maybe.
No, it's the base point. So I read an article on this.
Oh, jeez. Look at you.
I could be wrong. But yeah. It's the level from the sea level.
Right.
To the pinnacle of the mountain.
Right.
Versus the base underwater to the...
Mervin, is that what you're saying?
That's right.
There was no need for an exclamation mark, Mervin. Not even one exclamation mark was needed there. And Barry S. says, nice choice of 8 a.m. song, Howard. Has that modern Tracy Chapman feel. Absolutely, Barry S. That's us. We are just woke, lit, and totally on fleek. Oh, no, we don't say that anymore.
Too much to handle.
We're way too much to handle. Mandy, we're in a very good morning. Welcome, officially, back.
Thank you.
Yes. So one of the conversations that you and I started having last week is following your articles on the whole Martin Levick situation. You said to me, how come the Jewish media doesn't seem to be engaging much in it? And, I took that on board, and I think you're 1,000% right. Because I haven't engaged in it, because maybe it's easier, maybe it's just, it's difficult because there's so many Jewish players involved, Jewish community. We don't like, do you find the same thing when you are writing? Do you get pressure like that?
Yeah. So it's been a very interesting reception that I've received. Because look, I'm not the only journalist writing about it.
Of course, it's been Sunday Times, Financial Mail, News 24.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, obviously a lot of people have come to me and said, I read your article on Martin Levick, and I write for News 24. Mm. So, there is a bit of a sense of you're a Jewish journalist, should you be writing negative things about other Jewish people? Mm. Which, I don't really think is correct.
Right.
Just because somebody happens to be Jewish, does that mean that they are exempt from scrutiny?
Right. But
I do get the sense in the community that, people don't want to talk about it because they want to keep it in-house. They want to keep it within.
Right.
And because there's so many
ANC-like.
Very ANC. Yeah, we serve at the discretion
right,
of the
party. Right, exactly. And we talk about it internally. We don't talk outside. Right.
So I think there is a bit of that. And because a lot of the big players are Jewish, so almost everybody's lawyered up and almost every single litigation attorney in town is involved. Mm. A lot of them are Jewish. Some of the claimants, the creditors, are not Jewish, but a lot of them are, and of course a lot of Jewish guys work there.
Well, I just want to make a point that if you listen to the news a little bit earlier, and every time Zanati report on it, it made me a little uncomfortable. But it doesn't mean that we can't report on it. And that was an Israeli guy was dismissed from the army because he was seen to be lighting fires on Palestinian fields. Now, this is a story that is in Zanati's news today. Should we not be talking about that because it makes us uncomfortable? Actually, quite the contrary. We need to talk about these things because we need to say that, when somebody behaves badly, and I'm not equating it but even if they are Jewish and even if it doesn't form part of our narrative, then we still have to talk about it.
So for me, what the media should do is reflect what the community is talking about. And there's no doubt about it, the community is talking about this issue. Wherever I go, people in the community, if it's a Shabbos table, if it's school, wherever, people mention it to me. And I think that the media needs to be that mirror, because in the absence of any kind of formal communication, there will be rumor. And my goodness, has there been rumor? You know, I've heard every kind of rumor about this story. Because that's what we do.
Well, that's
you
what
know?
Happens because we fill in the gaps, don't
exactly,
we? That's
yeah.
human
so,
nature.
This doesn't apply to this story. It applies to any story. That's
yes,
what I always
of
tell
course.
People when I'm doing media training or any kind of advice with a crisis.
Mm. Yeah,
is you have
so.
To communicate because
just clear
in the absence
honest
of,
communication.
Of communication, that space is filled with speculation and rumor. And that's why the media has responsibility to report on it so that we can report fact. And at least that provides some kind of clarity and some kind of guidance to what's really going on. Otherwise, there'll be all kinds of rumors that will be unfettered.
Right. And of course, that's just as damaging to the parties involved. So let's go through the facts. What actually happened in this case?
So what we know is largely from court documents. Mm. And those court documents obviously are public knowledge. They are of a public nature, so they can be reported on. And it's very important to note and to be clear about this, that the application for a provisional sequestration is against Martin Levick in his personal capacity.
Right.
Not against
Genesis.
And it's also important to clarify, because I know that there's been some concern around this, there are two entities here. Genesis Capital Pty Limited, which is the one that sells policies
right.
and that kind of thing.
Discovery type policies.
Exactly.
Right.
And then there's Genesis Capital Partners, which is the kind of investment arm.
Right.
You know, so there are two different entities here, of which Martin Levick was the MD of both.
Okay.
So, but there was an application for sequestration. And in those papers, I mean, the one, which was the main applicant, is a Jewish family that is claiming, a large amount of money from him because, he didn't pay them back. You know, all of it's quite technical financially. And then, I mean, there's one which is just a spectacular tale of this Banksy artwork.
Oh, wow. That was incredible.
Which, essentially looked like this, fun story, which was a fraud, to get a businessman to fund the Banksy artwork, and there are three or four applicants who tried to get him provisionally sequestrated. One was successful, and there is a return date on the 4th of June for a permanent application for sequestration, a final application. So in the interim, what has happened is Martin Levick has been suspended. There's been a disciplinary hearing, and he's been he's left Genesis Capital. But the question is, you know, how involved was Genesis Capital, Genesis Capital Partners? How much did they know? And according to one of the lawyers that I spoke to, Saul Shute from Flaxman's Inc., he says that he has been approached to litigate against Genesis Capital Partners. So that would be the next step.
That's the investment arm.
That's the investment arm.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, Genesis Capital Partners now have officially disassociated themselves from Levick.
Completely.
Right?
You know, they've distanced themselves.
Right.
They're saying this is in his personal capacity. In fact, Genesis Capital Partners has actually renamed. They're now called Calculus. And also any reference to Levick has been removed from the Genesis Capital Pty Limited website as well. So they are completely trying to distance themselves from the Levick Association and the Levick legacy.
Right. And how successfully is from your experience out there, is the market buying this, not buying this?
I think it's too early to say, really. Right. You know, I think if you're in the industry, you'll know. You know, if you're going to be investing and giving your money to somebody, you can do due diligence.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, I think over the passing of time and with a period of space, it may be effective. But I think it's something that they probably had to do, you know, to disassociate themselves in order to maintain their integrity and their reputations.
Right, including changing the name. I'm not convinced really that changing your name so quickly is that's my own view on it, sometimes that makes it a bit worse. Rather, you know, disassociating yourself, of course, definitely, I think that's the thing to do. You have to do that. Especially because there's all of these cases and all of these, pending the litigation. So you do want to disassociate yourself, but to the extent of changing your name, I just wonder from a branding point of view if that looks good or if that looks not so good.
I'm sure they got some advice on that. I know that the property arms also changed to integer properties.
Right.
And I think the idea there is just to
move as far away as possible. Right, right. How does it go from here? What is the next steps within this type of a case?
So the next step would be the court date in the beginning of June. For a final sequestration application. The other issue as well is that the Hawks are investigating. So the Hawks are investigating, I understand, two cases, that's what they've told me, of fraud. And
that's again directly
against
Martin Levick, right.
Not against the companies.
Right.
So they are investigating, and I mean, it's unclear. They may charge him. They may not. There may be an issue with SARS. They may decide to look at this as well. And then we know that the sheriff has also been to visit, and the Aston Martins and the Houghton Home and the Clifton Villa. And
All the artwork.
And the jewelry was an issue, but I understand that was handed over as
well. It has been handed over.
Apparently.
Right.
I'm told
right.
It has been handed over. So that's, you know, obviously the creditors want their money. So there is a trustee that is in place. I understand there's two trustees in place. So there's going to be claims. I also understand there's quite a few people waiting in the wings who want to make claims. You know, who may or may not have
stepped forward
yet.
I guess it also depends on all of the details around it. You know, how kosher, in inverted commas, it was.
My understanding is some people can't come forward because there may be some legal issues around their loans or their investments.
Right. Anonymous says, I am so grateful for brave and courageous journalists like Mandy. This is the reality, and it needs to be discussed. We are very quick to criticize when our positive achievements are not covered in the media. Communication is key. The first I saw of the story were the court papers circulated widely on WhatsApp. Then the so-called legal experts started to interpret court papers, which was tantamount to the rumor mill that you have spoken about. Today, the most authentic and fact-based info that I have read is Mandy's article. Mandy, please encourage the respective parties to communicate as this prompts fact over fiction. Howard, thank you for giving Mandy the platform. Let's continue to discuss these tough but yet important issues.
So I must say that both Genesis Capital Pty Limited and Genesis Capital Partners have been extremely cooperative about responding.
And that's something that you mentioned to me when we spoke, is that they came back directly with answers.
Absolutely. They haven't been evasive at all.
Right. And I think that's very important.
Both Darrenshire and Stan Melnick, I've sent them questions and they've responded immediately.
How unusual is that in your experience?
Quite unusual.
Right.
Yeah. Usually you get referred to lawyers. You get no comment, you just get shut down, and they really have been very good about communicating.
So that's brilliant. That is very, very positive that they've come back directly, and communicated. Unsigned says, do you know where Martin is, what his state of mind was, and what prompted his actions?
I can't psychoanalyze him.
Yeah.
You know, I've certainly
when you write an article, it's a great question. Do you try and get into the head of the person that's behaved in a certain way?
I think when you're writing a news article, not as much. Mm. You know, if I was doing a book, or a more feature-length kind of thing, then certainly, you know. I was very keen to speak to Martin himself so that I can get, obviously, his version of events and his, you know, his story about what happened. I did speak to him on the phone a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
He unfortunately was in the hospital because his mother was unwell.
Right.
And I asked him several times for an interview, and then his lawyer sent me a very long letter, essentially saying, be careful what you write because it could be perpetuating the defamation that is in the court papers. And then subsequently that lawyer is no longer his lawyer. He now has a new lawyer. You know, so, I mean, I would definitely invite Martin to speak out, because then at least we have a version of events. You know, this is something I'm often criticized for as well, about giving people a platform. And, you know, I think it's only fair to give him a platform.
I agree.
And to hear what his explanation
100%
is. 100% right. And to hear what happened. Look, obviously, a lot of the people that have been allegedly defrauded are people that he's known for a very long time and people that he was friendly with, that he did business with. And I think that's why there's so much resentment.
So much anger.
And so much anger yeah, about it. Because
betrayal.
People feel betrayed.
Yeah.
Because there are people that are family members, people that are friends, that have lost their money, that wanted back.
Couple of great messages. Unsigned says, many of the investors are very astute businessmen. Surely they would have requested regular updates to their investments and proof of performance. Look what, from what I understand, even from Mandy's articles, as Mandy's just said, that many of them were long-time friends. And I think it seems to be, if these version of facts are correct, that he managed to spin quite an elaborate story.
Yeah, I mean, everyone I've spoken to says, you know, obviously he was a very, he talked the talk, you know, he was a very innovative businessman. He was always doing, he was a deal maker. So a lot of people, and if you look at the court papers, actually, it's very interesting because it's a very clear trail of SMSs, emails, people asking for updates, and they keep, you know, he keeps buying time and buying time and maneuvering. And, you know, if you're in that, I suppose you can buy it, you can believe it. But there are a number of businessmen who, after like a 2 or 3 month period, realize.
There's something tragic, something so tragic, actually, about the unraveling of the individual.
Yeah, definitely. You know, especially with that legacy. If you look at the fact that his father started this business, his brother was in the business, is in the business as well. You know, there is something tragic about it. And also because he was so well known in the community and he was, you know, seen as, you know, this, like a deal maker,
I have to tell you, I mean, I know him just by, you know, by conversation and seeing him at the gym and chatting to him, and I find him to be the most warm, likable, friendly, never unfriendly person. Always had time to say hello and to chat. And when this story started coming up, it's very sad. It's very sad.
The difficulty is that, you know, a lot of people know him, and a lot of people I know him. You know, so I think that's why people are talking about it, and that's why it's important to get facts out there about what's actually going on.
Right.
You know, because there's no Schadenfreude, pardon my pronunciation, about this.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to see
a
fall from grace.
Definitely not.
You know, so I think that there's definitely something tragic about it.
You know, and these are hardworking, decent companies, you know, that are potentially bystanders in it. And obviously everything will come out as to what the facts were. But it is still, you know, it's just a mess.
It is a mess, unfortunately. You know, he didn't oppose the application for sequestration. Which makes it difficult to hear his side of the story, because it's not in court papers. There's no affidavits. We have tried to speak to him. You know, obviously, for legal reasons, people are always reluctant to speak to the media while these things are ongoing.
I understand that,
because they fear this idea that it's sub judice, which isn't even a real thing anymore.
No.
You know, so I would encourage him to come out and speak about it, because then at least we know. We can understand and have some empathy about it.
Unsigned says, I just hope that we will see the truth come out and that the respective families are given due respect and not dragged unnecessarily to make this more personal than practical. I'm not 100% sure what you're saying there.
I think that there's a lot of personal issue here because people are so close to each other.
Is that what this is?
That's the sense that I get.
Yes.
I think that some people are pursuing this on principle now because they feel that they're rebelled.
Right. Nothing like a good forever in the Jewish community. It is 8:28. I'm Howard Feldman chatting to Mandy Winner. We're talking about the Martin Levick situation. I'd love your thoughts on 34519 or 061-895-1019. We'll be back just after that. Time is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chatting in studio to Mandy Wiener. We're going to wrap up the interview on the Martin Levick situation. So, Mandy, do you, writing about events like this within the Jewish community, being Jewish, being connected to the community in so many ways, does the reaction cause you to be hesitant? Do you think it'll cause you to be hesitant next time around?
I I'd like to say no, just because, you know, my journalistic principle shouldn't be influenced by that. You know, but, you know, it's never comfortable. But at the same time, I suppose because I'm in the community, people do talk to me. So they know me, so they trust me with information, so that they're more inclined to talk to me. You know, it shouldn't matter that I'm Jewish and the subjects are Jewish. You know, that shouldn't be an issue. I suppose in a way, we also need to hold our own to account, to ensure that, you know, this doesn't happen. You know, journalists are also criticized a lot for reporting on public sector, corruption and fraud and not on private sector. So when there is an issue like this in the private sector, it's important that we investigate it and report on it as well.
I guess. Yeah. And one SMS, what happened to presumed innocent until proven guilty? Is this another trial by media? It's the principle here it's the principle here that upsetting people. People who are accused can never recover, even if innocent.
This is always an issue in the media, is that we try and be as fair as possible. So it's important to note that, you know, we're not just making the allegations from nowhere. They're coming from court papers. They're coming from a decision that was taken by the High Court in Johannesburg, which was not opposed. We've given a right of reply. We try and make it as balanced as possible. And
otherwise, you could never write on anything until after a trial.
Exactly. So
that kills the whole concept of media.
This is Jacob Zuma's argument, essentially, is that you need to be, considered innocent.
10 years later or 15 years later, however long it is, we're still talking, you still can't talk about it because he hasn't been found guilty.
Exactly. Right. And look, the truth is, the community is talking about it.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Just not report on it and then let that rumor and speculation barrel out of control? You know, so it's important, as I said, to get the facts out there and at least let people make their own decisions.
Absolutely. Final SMS. For clarity on my point, our community are talented at kicking a dog when it's down. If Martin is prepared to face the music and accept that he has wronged, we should give him the benefit of respect, his family, and not drag them into this unnecessarily. That does not mean that we should accept what he has done, but rather do it in a dignified manner. Look, and I certainly think, Mandy, my view on the way in which you've handled it, and I'm hoping the way we've handled it, and I think in general the way the press has handled it is in a dignified
look,
manner.
There's lots of personal stuff we could have written about that I've heard about,
right,
that I won't write about.
Right.
So
it's true that people don't see what you don't write.
Exactly. Like, I mean, if people knew the stuff that's been told to me,
right,
that I haven't written about, you know, I think, and that's what people want to hear about, is the stuff that I haven't written about, which I'm not going to write
about.
All
right, as soon as we're off air, we're going to chat about No, we're certainly not. Time is 8:34. Mandy Wiener, thank you for coming into studio. And thank you for raising the subject. I think it is so important. I think you just keep doing what you're doing, and strength to you.
Thanks so much, Howard.